You're listening to Family Personalities, a podcast where we use personality type to help change the way you think about your family. I'm Sandra Etherington, your personality type practitioner.
And I'm Em Levy, personality type enthusiast.
Join us while we talk about family, relationships, and parenting, all within the context of personality type. Hey everyone, today I'm chatting with Elena Nola. She's a single parent with INTJ preferences who actually uses Myers-Briggs type in her work. She's an integration mentor where she helps her clients to optimize their lives and break old patterns of thinking, being, and relating that are keeping them trapped in fear, disconnection, and exhaustion. I have guests of all different knowledge levels regarding personality type, but it's always great to have someone who is very well versed in type and has done their own self-work around their type, because I think we can glean a lot from someone who has our same type preferences and who has figured out exactly how to live thoughtfully, intentionally, and contentedly as a person with those type preferences. And I think Elena is a really good example of that for INTJs. She was actually on the podcast before, on episode 45, where she talked about parenting her son, who uses the cognitive function extroverted intuition, which I call imaginative intuition. But today she's back to talk about her experience as a parent who uses the opposite type of intuition from her son, which is called introverted intuition, and I've nicknamed this function insightful intuition. I also learned about Elena after the interview that she's an Enneagram 7, which I never would have guessed since INTJs are not often Enneagram 7s. But now that I know it about her, it actually totally makes sense. So Elena runs a little book club that I attend over Zoom a couple times a month where we talk about personality type. And we were discussing a function that I call responsive sensing or extroverted sensing, and about how a lot of people equate that function with, you know, the function that's helps you be in the moment. And we were questioning whether other functions can also take you in the present moment. And I kind of used an example of like, how I thought, you know, my function extroverted feeling could be in the moment because it's about connecting with people in that moment, and how my husband, who has INTJ preferences like Elena, has a harder time with that because, you know, he doesn't, you know, connect with the kids like I do in the car. And then I started talking about how I think introverted feeling or resonant feeling can be about the present moment because it's about feeling, you know, your feelings right now, and how Enneagram 7s can have a really hard time with that because they're always trying to avoid being in their feelings. And Elena goes, oh my goodness, you're just getting me from all angles, aren't you? Because she's an INTJ and an Enneagram 7. And I kind of threw both of them under the bus in one breath. But I didn't know she was an Enneagram 7, and she kind of took it like a champ. But anyway, I'm delighted to know now that she's an Enneagram 7. Thank you for being such a good sport about my digs, Elena. And I would have woven Enneagram 7 into this interview had I known, but I guess that's just a good excuse to have her back someday. I would really love to dive into how her Enneagram and Myers-Briggs type work together, because that's definitely one of the less common Enneagram-Myers-Briggs type combos. But alas, today we're here to focus on her Myers-Briggs type, and specifically that driver function that INTJs and INFJs use called insightful intuition. You can listen to the episode where we talked about what insightful intuition is and how it shows up in parents by going back to episode 47. If you need an introduction to what cognitive functions are in the Myers-Briggs personality type model, we covered that in our Introduction to Cognitive Functions in episode 37. And you can also check out a little bit about it on my cognitive functions cheat sheet at familypersonalities.com/functions. And if you are brand new to Myers-Briggs personality type, you don't even know what the letters stand for or how to figure out which letters type pairings you are, find the episodes that cover the basics at familypersonalities.com/basics. Okay, I want to go over a couple things before we get started with Elena. Understanding your own type as a parent and the type of your parenting partner and your kids is what I do in my work. I use the cognitive functions in Myers-Briggs to give you a full understanding of your child and every member of your family. And I do this on Zoom so that I can work with you no matter where you are in the world. You can sign up for that today or schedule a quick Zoom to ask more questions at familypersonalities.com/services. Also, I'm working really hard right now on creating an online course that you can work through at your own pace that will teach you how to identify your child's personality type. Visit my website and sign up for the newsletter, as that is where I will announce it when the course is released. It's familypersonalities.com. Lastly, If you've been listening along to all of this great information that I've been doling out on this podcast and you want to contribute in order to help me continue what I'm doing, you can donate on the website now. Head to familypersonalities.com/donate to set up either a one-time or a recurring donation, and your help would be so incredibly appreciated. Okay, let's go over the two main functions that INTJs use so you can have a little context when Elena brings them up. The first one, that driver function, it's the one that's really driving your personality car, is insightful intuition, which is looking for hidden meanings and patterns and extrapolating them into the bigger picture and an insight for the future. We didn't get a lot into the second functions that INTJs use in their front seat much today because we were really focusing on that dominant function. But just for reference, the co-pilot function for INTJs, that other front seat function, the other strong function, is called extroverted feeling, and I nicknamed that one efficient thinking. It's about using outer systems, benchmarks, and standards of measurement to decide in an efficient way. All right, you guys, you've waited long enough. Here's Elena. Okay, Elena, thank you for joining me again. It was our last discussion about your son, which people can go back and listen to on episode 45. Was really great. And now we have you back to talk about your experience as an INTJ parent. Specifically, I would love to talk a lot about that insightful intuition or that introverted intuition function that you lead with. But let's start off. Can you introduce yourself to everyone and what you do?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Elena Nola, and I'm an INTJ. I have almost 7-year-old son who I believe has ENFP preferences, definitely leads with the extroverted or imaginative intuition. So not the same type as me. And professionally, I work as an integration mentor, which is helping people basically to bring the different parts of themselves and the different parts of their experience into an integrated whole. And so it definitely uses the Myers-Briggs typology as one component of that. And yeah, so that's in brief what I do.
And if people want to hear a little bit more about that, you talked about it the last time you were on also. Do you want to talk a little bit about what your family situation looks like?
Sure. I'm divorced from my son's father. We've been, we separated when he was not even 2. And currently my son and I live with my parents because I cannot handle him by myself. so he and his dad have a really great relationship, and I'm very happy and very proud of the fact that we kind of took the "you divorce, you know, husbands not families" ethos. And so I'm still very close with my ex-husband's mother, and you know, Tycho just sees all of us as one big family. Mm. And he doesn't see the divisions between that, which I think is really important, and it really makes things better for all of us.
Yeah, I know that's a really hard dynamic to maintain. So I think that's really amazing you're able to do that.
Yeah, I definitely can credit the fact that we're both, my ex and I are strong intuitives for that, because we can kind of see the long vision and realize, you know, whatever is going on in this moment is significantly less important than what's going to be going on, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So
yeah, if that perspective. Well, I have a set of questions that I like to ask all my parent guests. Okay. And they're pretty standard, but you know, if you could keep in mind your Myers-Briggs preferences, your Myers-Briggs cognitive functions while we go through them. And I know that you are very well informed on the functions. And so let's get into it. So I first just want to know why you wanted to be a parent, if you did want to be a parent.
I did want to be a parent. He was very intentional. I wanted the experience. I never had the super strong, like, hormonal driven feelings of like, I need a baby, but I was always curious. I always assumed that would be in my life. It was something that I did want. And I think I kind of took the perspective that if we try and it doesn't happen, like, that's not the end of the world, but let's at least try, because that would be my ideal. Mm-hmm. And since I'm going to go ahead and answer question 3 here. What's the most rewarding part about being a parent? Like, becoming a parent was amazing. It was life-changing, and I never thought I would be the you know, cliche person who talks about how much, like, you love your child. But truly having him opened me up emotionally in a way that had not existed before, yeah, and has allowed me to heal a lot of things that I'd sort of been hiding from or living, you know, guardedly behind for mm-hmm. my life until that point. And just the number of times that I have experienced that like overwhelming sense of wonder, you know, of the numinous of the miracle of life, the, you know, the universe and everything, because he exists and what his relationship is to me, like that has, it's just, it's enriched my life in so many ways.
That's so beautiful. You're giving me the feels here. Okay. So, I mean, it sounds like overall, just like a really rewarding experience for you and almost like a transformative
yeah.
experience. Is there anything that's been especially challenging about it for you?
Yes. I would say the energy management piece has been particularly challenging because being, so we talked about this last time, you know, for anyone who hasn't listened to that episode yet, you know, one of the main ways that I look through the lens of type is energy management and mm-hmm. being able to use your dominant cognitive process regularly, like not just, you know, a couple times a week, but as you go through your day, every day, ideally like several hours, it's something that engages your work or is one of the primary like time blocks that you have. That's what generates energy. That it relates to your sense of yourself. It relates mm-hmm. to your vitality and sense of aliveness. And so when you lead with the insightful intuition, that is an introverted, that's an inward facing function. And mm-hmm. that means that you need to be able to go inside yourself. And for that particular function, you need to be able to go away from the outer world entirely for it to do what it needs, what it does. So it's really hard to find the 3 to 4 hours to go be in my insightful intuition as a mom, especially, you know, when he was a baby and a toddler and those really like demanding first few years before they're in school. It has definitely gotten better since he's mm-hmm. been in school.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
But yeah, that it's something that I made a, you know, because I consciously chose to have him, I made a very conscious choice that I would never resent my child for mm-hmm. the demands and the sacrifices. This is actually one way my insightful intuition is helpful. I can take, and probably also my efficient thinking, because efficient thinking is also a very like long run, big project in small steps kind of way of seeing things. I've been able from the beginning to understand this is just a phase. This sacrifice is part of a bigger project and part of a bigger whole. It is worth it to me. You know, it's part of what I signed up for. And so yeah. even when I've been in tears of just overwhelm and exhaustion and like feeling like I cannot do this, I do not have the capacity to do this, like never once have I resented my child for mm-hmm. it, because I understand that it's part of what being a parent is. And this yeah. is part of the cost. And for me, it's worth it. I chose him, you know, he didn't choose to be here. I chose for him to be here. The end. But yeah, there's that part of it has been a challenge, and it's probably was made more challenging by the fact that, you know, his father and I did separate when he was very young, and that so I didn't necessarily have the resources of a co-parent that I might have had, or, you know, all of that. But
yeah, and also the draining of dealing with the emotional part of that too.
Yeah, there was definitely, yeah, exactly, that was also part of it, that mom was, you know, having to split time between being mom and attending to her own, you know, my own heartbreak and yeah. recovery.
What can you give a picture, what does it look like when you do get those hours to yourself to be in your insightful intuition? What are you doing?
So I probably take a walk and go into a meditative sort of trance, or what, you know, shamanic perspective might call a medicine walk style trance. I am probably journaling. I'm probably reading a book on, you know, some therapeutic technique or neuroscience mm-hmm. exploration. After I've sort of satisfied the need for input and reflection and sort of regurgitation, I might, you know, do something kind of to get out of that headspace and like do some, you know, do some yoga, practice music or something like that. But mm-hmm. mostly it's just having the chance to go inside myself and think my thoughts and like let my intuition think all the way through something from beginning to end. So, you know, for those of you who don't use insightful intuition or have never heard of it, or, you know, don't know whether you use it or not, it can be described as a pattern recognition and as a synthesizing function. It's basically trying to come up with one convergent explanation for all of the different things in its environment, all of the different ideas it's encountered. And so it's something where you might have like 10 different threads of thought, and you're slowly weaving them together to create like a braid, or one, you know, weaving them together into a tapestry. And it takes some time, and mm-hmm. it needs you not to be affected by the external world or to be interrupted. Because if you drop them, you know, you might not ever get them picked back up in exactly the right order again. And so whatever emergent you were working toward might be lost. Mm-hmm. Or even if you are able to successfully pick them up again, like there is a buy-in on picking up every single one of those threads and, you know, making sure that you feel like you have the wholeness of them and the entirety of them and their relationships to each other to then like put them back together. So, you know, you don't, basically, once you get into that process, you really want to just like be able to stay in it until you've come to your conclusion and you say, ah, beautiful, let me tie that in a bow and walk away. I don't have to think about that anymore.
Yeah. So. I love the way you describe that. And as a fellow parent who also leads with this function, that's definitely like a great way of describing it. I do a lot of mine, like, or at least I notice myself in my insightful intuition or my introverted intuition when I'm in the shower.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's why I hate getting interrupted in the shower or like something like that, because that's where I'm doing it. And like to be interrupted in the middle of all those thoughts kind of coming together and trying to form, you know, something that I can move on from. Mm-hmm. That's a really frustrating experience for me.
It's very jarring and very frustrating because it's like, oh my God, I had it. I was almost there. I was 7 minutes in. I needed 2. And now I'm back at 0. I need 9 minutes of complete alone time, it can be so rare to get that as mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially it's been tough during the pandemic. And
oh my goodness. Yes.
You're helping me work through a little bit why I got so stressed out when my kids both got sick this week. Mm. So even just the anticipation of knowing they're going to be underfoot all week and I'm not mm-hmm. going to get the time that I need is to like, I'm already just like spazzed out and it's barely, yeah. The week is barely even started.
Yeah. And when you're an attuned parent, it doesn't matter if your children are actually needing you. Like the fact that you know that they're there and they might need you, it kind of puts you on edge. And it's like, I have to be attuned to that. I have to be alert to that. I can't completely let go into this inner space that is what I'm craving. And it's what I want to be doing.
Yeah. What do you hope Taika will remember most about you or his childhood?
I hope he remembers feeling safe and loved. I hope he remembers that he felt accepted just as he was and encouraged to be himself.
You feel like that's an easy thing for you to give him?
I feel like it is for me. And really for the most part for the other people in his family as well. But I also feel like part of that happens because I can advocate for him and explain mm-hmm. why he is doing what he's doing mm-hmm. and basically make him make sense to some of the people that might not see it so clearly.
Yeah.
Or that might take maybe his, like, you know, we talked last time about his pushing boundaries and mm-hmm. rules, and they might take that as defiance. And it's mm-hmm. like, no, it's just how he sees things. It's not him being, you know, mean-spirited or needing to be defiant. It's not about defiance. It's, you know, it's something else. It's about exploring and testing what is and what could be.
Thondra, I just heard Bill Burr's rant saying how women should be supporting female athletes and not Real Housewives who just yell at each other.
That's ridiculous. Real Housewives is a sport. Join us on From the Bleachers, where we analyze the strategy and gameplay that our favorite reality stars use to earn additional seasons of play and social media fame.
And if you're lucky, Sandra will pull out her apology play rubric so you can all see what an easy grader I am.
I'm sorry, Mandy, but if you think Monica's apology to Heather on Salt Lake City deserved anything over a 2.5, you're delusional.
Whether we're breaking down confrontation play, relishing the bravo, bravo, bravo moments, or awarding a tardy for the party, we are the only place you'll find in-depth analysis of the plays that your favorite housewives are making on our screens.
From the Bleachers, a Real Housewives game analysis is available everywhere podcasts live.
And then how are you different from your co-parent, your ex-husband, and how does that play into your parenting? Or does it, you know, now that you are living separately?
We are certainly very aligned on the big picture and what we agree are the most important and kind of foundational things. I try really hard to let their relationship be their relationship and not to interfere too much. The main things is that I also try to make sure that he is aware of what's going on with Tycho. Like if there's, you know, extra pressure at school or, you know, if there's been a situation, you know, where someone in my family maybe has been under extreme stress and, okay, well, this has been happening. This person's been sick or whatever. So if he, you know, comes to you this weekend and is extra, you know, whatever, it might be a sort of stress release from that. But I think his dad is a little more strict than I am about the rules and about boundaries, and maybe has less of a laissez-faire approach in many ways. But that's not necessarily a bad thing either. I don't think he's overly strict. And, you know, I think it's good for kids to be exposed to different styles of enforcement.
Do you feel like that's a personality type difference between you two, or more of a environment?
I think it's
that
more
you each are raised in, or
yeah, I think maybe more just environmental and like what, like I you know, in terms of me and my ex-husband, probably a difference between having what do you call extroverted feeling?
Relational feeling.
Yeah, so his having the relational feeling and my having the resonant feeling, because resonant feeling is much more concerned with, well, this is what matters to me, and relational feeling is often very attuned to like how things look socially and how things appear to other people, which I really just could not care less about unless having the approval or cooperation of other people supports one of my goals. So
okay.
I think he's maybe sometimes more concerned about, well, it looks bad if our kid does this, or it, you know, he's old enough that he should have table manners. And I'm taking more of the approach that like when he's, you know, old enough to have social awareness, he will want to learn table manners and he will choose to. And it's not that important to me, you know, right now, because I don't, you know, at some point it will be, but it's not yet. So.
Yeah. Okay. And then do you feel like, and sorry if you don't want to talk about your ex too much, I don't know how you feel about that, but do you feel like with his, with him using the same dominant function as Tycho, that he has more energy and patience for that side, or is there maybe a butting of heads because of the similarity there?
I don't know how it would be if, you know, if we were a family unit still and it was, you know, together all the time, but when they have, you know, their weekends or, you know, 3 or 4 day stretches together, they are buddies and they are able to go on adventures and watch all the movies and talk about all the things, and they really keep up with each other very well. And I just love that. So yeah. You know, as the way our arrangements are now, they match up very well together in that way.
Yeah And then he kind of gets that extroverted intuition outlet on those visits. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so we talked about the energy drain and the difficulty, you know, kind of having time for that insightful intuition. What are some things that you do for self-care? Is it going into the insightful intuition, or is it something else?
I make a point to make time for either yoga or walks and for my own musical practice. And I also consider the time that I spend with, you know, friends and other sort of social adult social outlets to be self-care. I need places where I am able to be Elena, not mom. And so often I will split my downtime, like if he's, you know, with his dad, between more, you know, insightful intuition time and then social time. So
what's your musical practice?
I'm learning how to sing, actually. I spent most of my life thinking I was tone deaf, and then, you know, made an offhand joke to Tycho's music teacher, and he was like, nobody's tone deaf. Like, it's like maybe 1% of people actually have an anomaly that they can't hear tone. The rest, it's simply you haven't learned how to hear. And I was like, okay, so let's do some lessons. And
Oh, so fun.
Yeah. So I've slowly been learning, learning how to sing and a little bit of piano along with it. But honestly, the piano is a tool for the singing. I like the singing. The piano is I have to be able to play it to make the notes to make sure things match.
And what are you singing? Like pop music or like musicals or like what's...
Well, I would say it's definitely more like the contemporary commercial music style of singing rather than, say, classical, you know, singing the bel voce or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. But we've started with some with the Beatles because I grew up listening to them and I know some of their... I thought I knew their songs very well. Let me tell you, when you were actually like breaking down the melody and trying to sing it to a performable level, you will learn you do not know the melody the way you think you know the melody. so I'm not sure where we'll go from there. That was just kind of a mutual choice, but kind of also, you know, his suggestion. And so I've made a few of my own for other songs I would like to learn. I listen to a lot of, I don't want to say like strict country necessarily, but country adjacent music. Mm-hmm. And I think I have a voice that fits well in that pocket. So mm-hmm. that's probably a lot of what I'll end up exploring when I'm picking the songs.
Fun. All right. And this is my favorite question because of the varied answers that I usually get. But what I'm curious what an ideal day with your family would look like if you could pick one ideal day.
So just to be clear, it's an ideal day as a family.
That's what the last parent I interviewed asked me too. She was like, wait, does that have to be with my family?
Like my ideal day probably, like this sounds very horrible, but it's my ideal day probably doesn't involve too much family time. But maybe my ideal day would be this. I, you know, Tycho and I get up and we go to a park and we go explore and we have a really good time just like, I don't know, doing whatever you do in a park. Like you look under rocks and you throw things off the bridge into the creek and then you probably get down, you know, into the creek and go wading and you bring some dinosaurs and, you know, have dinosaur games on the rocks and, you know, just follow the trail wherever it goes. And then we go have pancakes somewhere. Obviously, this is in a non-pandemic time, but this is what we used to do on Saturdays. And then, you know, when he was about worn out with like both, you know, being outside of exploring things and, you know, relating with me, I was about worn out relating with him. We could come home and I'll, you know, let him watch stuff or play, you know, go play on his own. And I can then retreat into my own mind and kind of get to do my thing for the afternoon. And then, you know, dinner bed is always the same, whether it's a weekend or a school night. I try and keep the same, like eat about the same time, be following about the same process to, you know, okay, we're going to get ready for tomorrow and we're going to read some books and then we're going to, you know, put pajamas on and go to bed.
Yeah. So kind of that, like that time to feed his exploration and your bonding with him and then, and then some time to
get time for myself too. To rejuvenate. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, maybe what we do, you know, in the last like hour before dinner or something is I take a book in wherever he's hanging out and like I read while he's doing whatever he's doing so we can be in that energetic space. Once I've stopped actively, you know, intuiting, I can be in his energetic space and enjoy that. So just quiet time.
That sounds nice. Well, why don't you let people know where they can find you if they're interested in your coaching or just seeing more about you and what you do?
Yeah. My website is thepatternbreaker.com, and it has a little bit more about my story and how I got into this business and obviously what sort of things I specialize in. So,
cool. Thank you again so much to Elena for coming on and chatting with me. I'm sure I'll have her back again, either to talk about her Enneagram type or a helpful coaching topic related to personality type that she's so knowledgeable on. Are you an INTJ parent and do you relate with Elena's experience at all? Send an email to familypersonalitiespod@gmail.com or leave a comment in the show notes. You can find all my show notes at familypersonalities.com/the episode number. This episode number is 49, so it's familypersonalities.com/49. Don't forget to check out Elena and what she does at thepatternbreaker.com. She really does great work with people.
Next episode, we're going to go into this same function, introverted intuition, that we kept talking about today, or insightful intuition, and we're going to look at what it looks like in kids. So if you suspect that you have an INTJ or an INFJ, or an ENTJ or ENFJ kiddo, this should be quite informative for you. Let me help you parent more easily and peacefully through the use of personality type at familypersonalities.com/services. And remember, now you can donate to help keep this podcast going at familypersonalities.com/donate. Give me a follow on Instagram and Facebook at Family Personalities, and I'll chat with you guys again next week.
That's it for our show this week. We would like to apologize to our children, our parents, our spouses,
and anyone else we may have lovingly thrown under the bus this episode.
Thank you for listening, and catch us next time on the Family Personalities Podcast.